Since we're children of understanding, having been clothed upon with the heavenlies, the grace of God, it is time now for us to enter in to the mysteries, some of the deeper mysteries of God, to establish us in our ministry and our commission and calling of the new creation in the latter days. Revelation, the 5th chapter, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. Having seven horns. I wonder what these seven horns of Jesus could represent. In order to understand the mystery of these seven horns, let's get a resume or a complete understanding of what our fathers, people of the Old Testament, had to go through with to get rid of their sins, sickness, and workings of Satan. Under our Father's law for righteousness to the old Adam nature of man that had fell into sin and the dominion of Satan. Number one, our Father's people of the Old Testament, being tormented by Satan and sins, troubles, sickness, and so forth, the Old Testament person would come to the only place where he could get any measure of relief. He would come to the altar of God in the temple or tabernacle, the altar which had two horns or handholds on each side. And there he would grab the horns of the altar in travail and prayer, making vows, loud confessions, telling God how weak he was and what pitiful shape he was in, crying for mercy and relief, trying to overcome Satan, trying to overcome Satan's hold upon him, upon his mind and upon his body and upon his life and his soul, and to try to break through to God to get deliverance. He would pray and holler till he was exhausted, then fall prostrate straight before the altar and rest a while until he could get his strength back. And number two, when he got his strength back, he would grab the horns of the altar again and agonize and pray and cry for his family, for his wife, for his sons, his daughters, until he was exhausted himself again. Such a terrible, agonizing way. And then number three, he would make a sacrifice, a lamb or a goat or something else, by faith imparting his troubles, his sins, and so forth into the sacrifice and offering it up to God as a substitute for his sins and all of his troubles and workings of Satan. And maybe making a sacrifice for his family too while he's at it. And while the sacrifice was suffering and bleeding and dying, tied to the horns of the sacrificial altar, he stood agonizing and travailing and in fear, knowing that someday he must face the same fate as the sacrifice before the judgment of a righteous God. And then, number four, while the priest would carry the blood of the sacrifice into the holiest of holies to offer it up in prayer to see if it would be accepted by our Father, the person grabbed the horns of the altar again and agonized and travailed until the priest told him it was accepted. That is, if the priest told him it was accepted. But once the blood was accepted, then, number five, the sacrifice was put on the altar of the fire. The meat of the sacrifice was put on the altar of the fire, with horns on all four corners, where the priest put a touch of the blood on each horn of the altar. And as the fire cooked the sacrifice, the person knowing that someday he must face the same purifying fire of heaven to purify him for heaven. Or worse yet, if he did not make it to heaven, he must face the same eternal fire of hell that would cook him forever and ever. And then number six, after that terrifying ordeal, number six, after the sacrifice was cooked, or while it was cooking, the high priest would select a sacrifice for a burnt offering and put it on the fire with the four horns of the altar, tie it there and burn it until it was consumed. In this way, by faith, escaping the judgment, fire, and destruction that was coming upon the world against the old Adam nature, and in case it come in their generation, that sacrifice was supposed to protect them. Then the number seven. Then the priest would take a sacrifice to the outer court of the temple and place it upon the fire, an altar with horns on it, tie it to that altar and cook it slowly to a crisp, letting the burnt sacrifice go up towards heaven. Then put another sacrifice on and let it cook slowly to a crisp, keeping a continual burnt offering before the Lord. This burnt offering in the outer court was for the sins of the people upon whom the judgment at the end of the world would come, for their people, to in some way let them escape the judgment that was coming at the end of the world. Seven agonizing ordeals. And when it was all over with, even though they got a measure of peace in a day or so, or maybe even less, Satan had taken them over again and torment began again, and on the sacrifice went, until some of the Old Testament people moved into a time of continual prayer. Some of them prayed until they were skin and bones, keeping in communication with the Lord. But Revelation, the 5th chapter, verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns." Now Jesus Christ grabbed the horns of the altar seven times in suffering. If he had not have done this, you and I would have still been under the law of righteousness, of sacrifice, still going through that suffering, or even worse yet, the mystery of iniquity would have come to its fullness in the old Adam nature, and we would have been destroyed long before now. Ooh, we would have never had an opportunity to even have lived. The world would have been destroyed by fire, because the law of God says that once iniquity and sin puts his light completely out in the world or in any place, he must destroy it. This is what happened to the old creation of the world before the first Adam and Eve. Only a remnant was left. Only a few people, and those selected by God for a purpose. But Jesus Christ suffered in these seven horns so that you and I could live today and have the privilege of coming forth in the new creation of God in the earth in grace. Let's listen now to a song written in the wind. Just a little bit of it, and then we'll go on with an explanation of this. A real deep teaching, but it's something we must understand. Let's listen now to the song.
Weaker than Moses is the breath of his grace. As he breathes inside you, as you look on his face, all covenants of God with the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our heritage by the breath of grace. Blowing in the wind, heavenly wind, written in the wind are the secrets of God. Blowing in the wind are the breaths of his love, breaths of his promises, his glory, breathing his word, breath of his grace, breath of his life, breath of his peace, written in the wind, breath of his power, breath of his fire. All have been written, written in his way. give unto you. All my Father gave now is thine. Accept it, my children, a grace gift of mine. Let it breathe from your spirit to your mind, blowing in the wind, the heavenly wind. Written in the wind are the secrets of God, blowing in the wind are the breaths of His love. Breath of His promises, His glory breathes in His word. Breath of His grace, breath of His life, breath of His peace, written in the wind. Breath of His power, breath of His fire. All have been written in His wind. Ooh. 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 Our heritage by the breath of grace blowing in the wind, the heavenly wind. Written in the wind are the secrets of God. Blowing in the wind are the breaths of His love. Breath of His promises, His glory, breathing His word. Breath of His grace, breath of His life. Praise His peace, written in His wings. Breath of His power, breath of His fire. All hath been written in His
learned that the odors of all the prayers of the saints, including the prayers of our Lord Jesus, were preserved up around the throne and fill the air up around the throne, and that all the prayers of the saints hath been answered, is a finished work, and we have another working of grace, the finished work of grace, as we move on to our completion of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh. Being hungry, spiritually hungry for full understanding of how the covenants and the contracts of God were written with His people and with us. Our Father, through Jesus Christ, begin to let me smell the air, or smell the wind of heaven. Which is the breathings, or the inspirations of the Holy Ghost, of all spiritual conversations, and also spiritual conversations between our Jesus and our Father. In the winds of heaven are preserved all the spiritual conversations inspired by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost down through all the ages. Their secrets are written in the winds of heaven. And being hungry to breathe the winds of heaven, breathing by faith, I begin to get breaths of conversations, inspirations of conversations written in the wind of heaven. Now all the conversations and secrets written in the wind of heaven are confirmed in our book of life. But at this time, we will not take time to go through each scripture to confirm it. This will come later. Some of you will confirm it, and the Lord will be having me to confirm it through scriptures. But let's listen to the conversation which I've been hungry to breathe. Begin to breathe out of the wind of heaven. Our Father speaking by the inspiration of the Spirit to Jesus Christ in the early years before he entered his ministry. Now this is recorded in the New Testament, showing in the birth of Jesus and also his disputing with the wise men in the temple, or asking questions in the temple. You see written in his conversation the wisdom that amazed the elders of that day. He had knowledge of letters and knowledge of the scriptures that he wasn't supposed to have. And also all through the Old Testament, you see this revealed as conversations that went on through our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father before he entered into the ministry. But let's go on. Our Father speaking to Jesus before he was baptized in the River Jordan and entered in to his ministry. Our Father speaking, trying to be righteous under my law of righteousness is a terrible, almost hopeless fate, almost hopeless life. No matter how righteous my old saints become or became, Satan takes advantage of one small weakness and enters their life and condemns them and begins to possess them in unrighteousness. And they have to go through the same terrible, agonizing process of my law for righteousness over and over and over again. Ooh. Then our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking through the Spirit, why don't you just repeal or change your law for righteousness in people? You're all powerful, Father. You're almighty. You can do anything you want to do. Ooh. our Father speaking back by the inspiration of the Spirit. It's because of my covenant, our contract with Adam and Eve, where I blessed them and gave them and their descendants dominion over every living creature that moveth and liveth in the whole earth. Then when they were deceived by Satan working through them and their descendants, took the dominion away from them, took their inheritance away from them. Therefore, all their descendants are taken over by Satan, even from birth, and are enslaved and possessed by him. And there is no way for them to escape judgment from me except through my law of righteousness and mercy to them. And I am bound to my covenant or contract to all the descendants of Adam, because I cannot lie. And if I broke the covenant, I would be lying. Ooh. Our Lord Jesus speaking again by the Spirit. I don't understand. Why did you make such a covenant or contract with Adam when you could foresee they were going to be deceived by Satan and cause so much suffering in the world? Our Father speaking back, I couldn't foresee it. Our Lord Jesus speaking back to our Father, but you're almighty. You're the beginning and the end. I still don't understand. You're almighty, the beginning and the end. You know everything from the beginning to the end. Ooh. Our Father speaking back through the Holy Ghost breathings, breaths of heaven through His Son, Jesus. My Son, let me explain to you the way my covenants or contracts work. I am a just God. Therefore, I never take advantage of anyone. If I allowed myself to foresee their use or misuse of a covenant or contract, then I would be taking advantage of them because of my greatness over them and their weakness and smallness compared to me. So I blind myself and allow not myself to foresee their use of the contract. And our Lord Jesus speaking back to our Father, how do you blind yourself and keep yourself from foreseeing? Our Father speaking, by my nature of love, I write or give my covenants or contracts with my nature of divine love that seeth no evil, so that all my covenants and my contracts will be filled with my divine love, which is the strongest of my natures. My love is the greatest, most powerful of all my powerful, almighty natures. And my love is the controlling nature of all my other natures and of all my fullness. So when a person accepts in faith one of my covenants or contracts of love, they're able to take advantage of me. Even in their weakness of faith, even in their smallness compared to me, even in their weakness of faith of even a grain of mustard seed, they are able to possess all of my natures and my fullness through my covenants or contracts of love. Ooh. Then Jesus began to weep. Said, now understand, Father. Ooh. Ooh. And weeping, he said, your people are my people, Father. Ooh. Our Father speaking back by the Spirit to our Lord Jesus. Since you've been touched by my love and have offered me the sacrifice of your lips or your confession of words and weeping of love, I must repay you. Love and weeping, confession of faith, is the highest form of sacrifice, and I must pay it, repay it, for the highest form of reward. Ooh. It is my law that I owe no one anything. I repay my debts, and I repay love, sacrifice of love unto me. I repay it with the highest form of my love, and that is to meet their need, or to meet your need at that particular time in love. So I hereby give unto you and let you share all the righteousness and power of all my righteous people down through the past ages. And since you have accepted them in love and weeping as your people, I give you and let you share all their righteousness and power in grace. I give you this free of the law of righteousness that has bound them. I give you, my son, my covenant or my contract of all the collective righteousness and power of all my people, from Abel to Zacharias. I give you them in love. Ooh. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaking back to our Father by the Spirit. What will happen to all their unrighteousness and all their sins and all their disobedience and works of Satan? which they have been overcome at various times. Ooh. Our Father, speaking back to our Lord Jesus, they will have to pay. They will have to suffer and pay for those, for their sins, for their disobedience, and for their works of Satan, to fulfill the law of righteousness, which is under the Old Testament law, is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, which means that you must pay for sin with the penalty for sin. You must pay for disobedience with the penalty for disobedience. You must pay for all your yieldings to Satan and disobedience with the penalty for disobedience. In this, our Lord Jesus began to weep because love had already been planted in his heart. Jesus weepingly said to our Father, "But then that would make me unjust to share all their righteousness and all their power and all their life, and let them have to suffer for all their unrighteousness that they have suffered from Satan through their weaknesses." Ooh. So Jesus and our Father wept and wept and wept and wept together for their people. You hear those weepings. Written in the winds of heaven. Ooh. And as the weeping died down, in a moment of peace, then our voice, then our Father breathed his voice into his Son's spirit and said, "Go with my blessing and my love covenant moving in you for now. And as I reveal to you more wisdom, we will discuss more later by the Spirit. But for now, go. Go your way, lest Satan be able to overcome you later in life by accusing me of taking advantage of your youth." Here we see another character of God. Our Father is that he never gives us something in our youth that can later destroy us. He gives us in love what we need according to our stages of growth. Lord Jesus. So, Jesus, being always the obedient Son of our Father, went his way, went about his everyday life, went about his chores, for the love of our Father moving in him, obediently waiting for more wisdom of our Father. Meanwhile, learning the feelings of suffering in love with his Father. Learning the feelings of love. Also learning how quiet suffering in love and weeping leads into the pure revelations and workings and life and power of the living truth of God by the Spirit. A pattern that our Lord Jesus followed all in his ministry of in the mountains with prayer and supplication and strong cries, and in the garden at Gethsemane, suffering in love before and with our Father, and on the cross, suffering in pain and in love with our Father. Ooh. This love, suffering, which is not really worthy to be called suffering, because the reward is so great, as Paul spoke. But this love, suffering, was developed by our all-wise, loving Father even before Jesus entered his ministry. Ooh, written on the wind.
Of his peace written in the wind, breath of his power, breath of his fire, all hath been written in his wind. Meeker than Moses is the breath of his grace as he breathes inside you, as you look on his face. All covenants of God with the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our heritage by the breath of grace. Blowing in the wind, heavenly wind, written in the wind are the secrets of God. Blowing in the wind are the breaths of his love, breaths of his promises, his glory, breathing his word. Breath of his grace, breath of his life, breath of his peace, written in the wind, breath of his power, breath of his fire, all have been written, written in his wind.
Jesus, the scripture tells us, grew in stature and wisdom, grew in stature and knowledge. Being alone much of the time with the spirit of grace of our Father breathing inside him and revealing knowledge of the workings of our Father God. The Psalms tell us that our Father taught our Lord Jesus in the night seasons through the reins of his heart or by the breathings of grace. Our Father taught him the covenant of Abraham, of Moses and Elijah and others. And as our Lord Jesus grew in knowledge, he began to understand that in love and obedience, a covenant or an agreement could be made with our Father of an offer of any sacrifice, and that our Father must accept. Ooh. So Jesus, knowing all the excellent sacrifices that had been made by our Father's people down through the past ages in the Old Testament, with that love working in him, he decided to offer himself. Love moving in him consumed him to the point to where he began to see his body, his life, his whole being as a possession of our Father. So coming to this point, he offered himself. And here's the way it happened, as recorded in the scriptures and as written on the wind. Jesus said, Father, your people of the Old Testament are my people. And all of your people down in the future are my people. You being eternal, you have people in the future and people in the past. So to you, my Father, in love, I covenant or offer you my body, my life, my whole being to work out your plan and our plan inside of me, written in the scriptures and written in the wind. Jesus said, a body hast thou prepared me, my Father. Ooh. Ooh. Having then been joined together through love and purpose of heart with our Father, the love of our Father accepted, and they wept together. Ooh. Ooh. The Father said this promise: you have offered your body as a love sacrifice, which is without spot and blemish, and I must accept by my law of sacrifice. But I covenant with you, my son, or agree with you, and give you this promise. As you suffer, I will suffer with you, and will give you my fullness and my power. Ooh. Ooh. So with that declaration and that agreement with our Father, Jesus walked down to the River Jordan. And John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, whose job it was to restore God's people, our Father's people, back to Him in consciousness. John the Baptist saw Him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that was revealed to John the Baptist in suffering also. As he is out in the wilderness, agonizing, crying for the sins of the world, out there in the desert, eating locusts and wild honey, wearing camel hair clothing, all at once the Father spoke to him. Said, "Since you don't have a body enough to give for the sins of the world," said, "I have one prepared that is without spot or blemish." So John the Baptist said immediately, "In love, I become a servant to that body, Father, you prepared without spot or blemish." Ooh. And through that offer of servitude, the Lord spoke to him and said, "The one that you see coming, and I shall speak when you see him coming, and the one that you see coming in the Holy Ghost descending upon him like a dove out of heaven will be the one that taketh away the sins of the world." John the Baptist, now knowing this, his commission, continued on baptizing the people in the River Jordan in obedience to our Father. It is written in the wind of suffering. John the Baptist saw him coming to be baptized. And knowing Jesus' call for suffering in the world, he said, "I'm not worthy to even stoop down and unlatch his shoes." Ooh. 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 But Jesus said, "We must obey the Father in all righteousness." Ooh. So he baptized him in the river, and heavens opened, and the Holy Ghost clothed upon Jesus and saturated him. And the Father, confirming our Lord's ministry, spoke and said, "Thou art my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Our Father spoke out of heaven and said, "Thou art my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately, without any hesitation, without doing anything, following the principle of the Lord, is that once something is clear for you to do or for I to do, then obey immediately. Jesus was driven or carried by the Spirit into the wilderness. Carried into the wilderness to start fulfilling the purpose of his and our Father in his body. Ooh. Carried by the Spirit to a degree much like the Spirit had carried Ezekiel and other prophets of the Old Testament. Ooh. Mm. Ooh.